Welcome to Wake Up with AI, the podcast where human-powered meets AI-assisted. Join your hosts, Chris Carolan, Nico Lafakis, and George B. Thomas, as we dive deep into the world of artificial intelligence. From the latest AI news to cutting-edge tools and skill sets, we are here to help business owners, marketers, and everyday individuals unlock their full potential with the power of AI. Let's get started.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday, October 15th, 2024. It's time to wake up with AI here with Nico and George. How you fellas doing today?
I'm feeling great today. It's Tuesday in a never-ending world of possibly future Tuesdays. So
likewise, feeling very good. Crisp this morning. It is a crisp 45 degrees outside. So
I'm loving it. It's chilly here too. Yeah.
Gonna be 98 today in Houston. Unseasonably warm.
That's how you brag without bragging, I think, right there.
Oh, there's that like full on curve that's going from like Michigan straight down to Texas. I saw that and I was just like, oh, okay. So like literally from the Midwest over, we're all nice and cool. And from the Midwest over to the West, you all are baking alive.
Yeah. High of 98, low of 57 later today. So how can AI help us with that? What are we talking about today?
Climate change. The new large language model.
I mean, how do we do this? Did you watch the video before we started?
I did not.
No, but like that's what's weird. I shouldn't say how do we do this. It's really how do I do this? Because I'm in it so much that everything, you talk to me about anything, talk to me about turtles, I will tell you something that's AI related to the turtles. And that like, yeah, we're using AI to actually study the walking path of the turtles so that we can understand why do turtles cross the road.
To get to the other side.
Yeah, to that point. I was watching a video from Mo Gadot, and he was talking about just like what happens when things move forward. And he was using this analogy of electricity. And he's like, well, we have electricity as this utility that we plug into, and we can do all these great things with it. And that's what's about to happen with intelligence, that we're going to be able to tap into this increased intelligence whenever we want to. And he went forward to say, okay, but what does that look like? It's like, you know, currently I go home and I tap into this intelligence and it's about another 25 IQ. Very soon it's going to be that I tap into it and it's 100 IQ. And then not too long after that, that's the funny part, right? As you go from 25 to a little bit of time makes 100 to a shorter amount of time to 100 gets you 400. And he says, at 400 IQ, I can solve all of the world's problems, everything, anything you can think of.
Wow.
Climate change, global warming, monetary issues, poverty, everything. To the question of like, okay, well, how do we solve these problems?
Here's the thing. My brain goes in a very interesting direction when you say that. Because IQ, yes, but only if you know the right questions to ask. You know what I mean? There's an important piece to that of like, well, if you want to, then how do you? And what is the chain of questions to get you there?
That's a tidbit. My big thing today is something that we skipped over, actually. And I did want to show on people. I shouldn't say that we skipped over, but we like talked about it and we didn't actually show anybody, which is a little unfair for anybody that's listening. But, you know, that's them's the breaks. I will definitely talk through it as we go through it. But I definitely wanted to show people like, what is Canvas? What is this thing they've been hearing about? What does it do? Why is it so different from like the regular version of GPT? And what's so big deal about it? Canvas is a much smoother way, I guess, George, of working on things as you go along. We'll just do something really simple. When I say a smoother way of working with things, if you've worked with Anthropic's Claude and you understand how artifacts work and the way that it breaks things out into a whole separate sort of window that you can use, then this is very similar to it, but artifacts are more of like a copy paste element than they are something that's a live working document, which is really what Canvas is much more like. It's almost like an open working document that you have. So
Nico, before you go ahead and type your thing, while you're typing, I want to just hit something, because we're so used to going to ChatGPT, typing our thing and hitting enter. I want everybody to realize on Canvas, and it's small, but I think it's on purpose. There are these buttons underneath your chat now that are like create image, get advice, summarize text, analyze image, code, brainstorm, surprise me, help me write. Like they're giving you some jumping off points. to kind of leverage rather than just going in and like immediately typing your question or your statement or whatever you're trying to do and hit enter. So slow down sometimes to look at the new interface, ladies and gentlemen.
I remember one of the worst feelings when you started using AI or these chats is when it would like just whatever the prompt was, like nail it, just nail the answer, except like few words were not what you needed. And then you could not get it to reproduce anything close to the original answer. Right? Same prompt, yep. Everything comes back, something different. You're like, oh, how did we get here? Right. So this ability to edit is just amazing to think about.
It really is. And so what I've done is I've just given it a prompt, very basic, that, hey, we're working at Becky's Bites. It's a bakery and we're selling a new chocolate chip butterscotch cookie. And we're trying to put together some new copy for an email that we're sending out in a newsletter. So we've put out the copy. It's very, very basic. And while we're looking at it, you can highlight the section itself. Right. And you can click on that and you can either edit this section here or you can actually ask GPT to explain it. So let's go ahead and click on this and we'll explain. We'll say, can you explain the use of this copy? Right. And so then back in the main window, so it's kind of split open into two windows. We have this large canvas that's open and we have this smaller sort of column over to the left that's open. And so when I asked it if it could explain the text, it now comes out and says, okay, the selected text is actually the call to action that we're using. And it's designed to entice customers to visit Becky's Bites. Be one of the first to create urgency and then uses your taste buds will thank you, adds a friendly, reassuring tone, making it more inviting and appealing to the reader. So this is the instance where maybe you're asking it. I love how these things line up. When George is like, you have to know how to ask the right questions. Maybe not anymore, right? If you think about this from like a teaching tool perspective, this is probably one of the greatest teaching tools that I've seen in a long time, especially when it comes to being able to write term papers, writing essays, writing any sort of long form content, and then being able to have the explanation come back to you of why it wrote something in a particular way or what it meant by what it was writing. The reasoning that goes on behind that. I don't think that there's a whole lot there. I think really what you're looking at here is just an output of the algorithmic thinking that put this together, as opposed to it telling you like, yeah, well, I was thinking about this while putting that together. Like I don't quite think it's that yet.
So I have to throw in here something because I'm kind of breaking my own brain sitting over here watching you do this, because this all started with a generated prompt to create the thing. But when you did that and it said, this is a CTA, I all of a sudden was like, well, what if I actually got in here and I pasted my competitor's email and then started asking it like, why is my competitor doing this email this way? And is there a way that you can optimize my competitor's email, but actually make it for my organization? And so like dissecting and then optimizing in this tool to me gets real interesting.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, is the iteration at this point becomes much more fluid, much more rapid. And so that's just like clicking into the text. And again, we can also rewrite and we can edit this and say, we'll do something really vague. I kind of love doing vague on demos at this point. So we're going to say, turn up the volume on this. I couldn't even tell you. Okay, so what's happening is instead of it rewriting an entirely new email, an entirely new email copy, what happens in Canvas is it just rewrites that section that you're asking it to do. So we don't have to worry about, like, yeah, we don't have to worry about like wasting tons of tokens. Now we only have to put the tokens into this section. That's actually as a result of, I believe, couldn't say for sure, but it's essentially like a cached method where it's caching the rest of the response. And you can see that it's broken it down into various sections. So it's like each other one is cached and it only has to change out the one that you're asking it to. So it's rewritten the copy and it's pumped it up a little bit, talked about how the cookies are now irresistible and, you know, sink your teeth into them and all that kind of stuff. So
your taste buds will explode with happiness.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go to the cookie store after this episode.
Yeah. Early this morning and already people are hungry for cookies. Okay. So outside of just the inline stuff, you also have these additional options down in the lower corner where you can suggest different types of edits that you might want to make, right? So if you don't know what kind of like edits, you could say like adjust the length or change the reading level. I know that George loves this one.
I love that one.
So the reading level here, I'm not even sure what it's at. We can check, keep current reading level, or we can just adjust this slider and we can say, yeah, bring it
the
down.
The default's high school, by the way. I want everybody to pay attention to that. The default is high school reading level.
It's somewhere in between. It's like middle school and then high school.
I'd love to see this raised all the way up, actually.
Oh, geez. Yeah, let's go nerdy and take it all the way up for this email.
I want to go bottom to top. So this is supposed to be it. I don't know. I don't know what you would call this, but like to me, in between middle and high school is what I use when I'm writing. I don't know if anybody else does this. Maybe because I'm so old, I don't remember. We had this thing way when I was young called water cooler talk. And that's what I use as a descriptor. When I write emails or I write something that I want to be like generic for adults, I say, write this as if it was water cooler talk. And it puts it in that lingo. It uses general lingo that everybody knows, that everybody's going to be able to understand. So we're going to go with the kindergarten level and just see what that looks like by comparison to what we had before.
Hi, cookie friends.
We make super yummy cookie just for you. It's like a chocolate chip cookie, but even better. Come to Becky's Bites. Be the first one to try a tasty cookie. It made it crazy, crazy simple compared to what we had before. And now what I want to see is the graduate school level. So we'll go ahead and just pump that up.
Any marketers out there needing help with targeted messaging at kindergartners?
Yeah, or if you were...
to get them to come into the cookie store.
It's like outside of that context. What if you were trying to write a children's book and you had some really complicated story? Right. So you could take something like, I'm not even joking, like context window wise. I'm not saying you can do this with GPT. If you have your own model built out, you could. If you have your own assistant, you could take something like Lord of the Rings and break it down into a complete children's novel.
See, I went with The Matrix. I was like, let's make The Matrix into a child novel. But yeah.
Yeah. So we pumped this up to a graduate level. And
they're a little more talkative, I'm noticing.
A little bit more talkative. And the descriptions far longer.
This is novel like, confection. Yeah.
This screams, without knowing level of writing, like if somebody were to read this, they would yell at us for marketing speak, like
jargon, you know,
big word jargon. Yeah. Like that's what this, like introducing a novel confection at Becky's Bites, an analytical perspective on flavor fusion.
You know, I never think of analytics when I'm eating a freaking cookie. Can I just throw that out there?
No.
Let me do the math of how these morsels are bursting in my taste bud. That doesn't happen.
I just love the achieves a balance of textural and gustatory nuances, offering a multifaceted sensory experience. Like, wow, seriously?
Let me go get some right now.
Oh, man.
I'm not sure I've ever used that to describe. Oh, yeah. The omelet was so multifaceted. It was unbelievable.
But just to like, this is why when we talk about strategy related to like audience building and, you know, ideal client profiles and messaging and personas, you have all the tools now. If you understand that there's three people, three distinct audiences that you have to be talking to, the decision to actually create content that speaks to them is the hardest part, because we just saw how easy it could be to just change it like that, right? And this is outside of HubSpot or whatever tool you might be using. This is the kind of stuff that you can start doing in tool and automating.
Oh God, you didn't. Why did you do that? Why did you hit the emoji button? I hate that button.
There's an emoji button.
It's the dumbest
There's
button.
There's an emoji button. I kind of did it just to show people why, right? Like, please don't, because it's going to get nasty.
It should literally say vomit emojis. That's what it should say, because it just overdoes it so
If you're listening
much.
To this, like, please find the video version of this podcast. Man, emojis yeah, I mean, are there like, is like pop-ups.
Wherever there would have been cookie. Yeah, wherever there would have been the word cookie is now an emoji that is a cookie. And then wherever it did say chocolate, there's a chocolate bar.
It's like emojis.
It just decided to plug and play.
Emojis are like pop-ups. Like, so easy to hate. Yeah. But so
you know
effective.
It's marketing when you see it, right?
They're also super effective when used properly. Proper. So.
The sick part about this, right, is that like we made a mistake. Clearly we made a mistake. And normally we'd have to regenerate the whole thing, ask it to try to do the last version, hope that it comes back properly or whatever.
I love this.
Now we have the previous version. We have an undo button.
This is ridiculous. So much.
You can say back to the latest version that you were wanting to, or restore this version, right? And then we can just restore it and we're good.
So nice. So which again goes to the caching or something's being like remembered or held somewhere. So
help me with my top question then. Why shouldn't I just move everything I'm doing in Claude over to GPT?
I can't remember if I said this yesterday or not. I think I said it in another show or to somebody else. But it's a race to intelligence, right? In all of these things, in all of these models, it's a race to intelligence. There is something to be said, like, why would there be different models? Because there are different ways of thinking about things. There are different ways of approaching problems. Will there eventually be one to rule them all? Yes, because you're shooting for the exact same goal. So even if there's one that thinks differently than another, it's not like humans. To me, that's the equivalent of one agent. It's just a way of thinking. So you can just chain millions of them together and think about it. Like, eventually one of these things will be one Doctor Strange that can see all of the possibilities at the same time, not one after the other. It won't be sitting there meditating for a while. At the same time, it will read every book in Congress, right? Like in the Library of Congress, right? Every page. Okay. That's where we're getting to. So I think, yeah, eventually I think you you know, not that you shouldn't, but just realize, like, one of these tools is going to eventually be the dominant one. In my opinion, we've looked at the stats, you know, OpenAI is going to continue to be the leader. And if Claude does get ahead, it'll just be for a moment.
Here's the thing. I know that I'm quickly turning into a nerd because you know what I dream about? I dream about when it's O1 preview plus Canvas. Oh my God. The creation process with that thinking and my direction and being able to do corrections. I need a minute.
Please tell me this somehow rolls into the skills that pay the bills.
Well, it's, see, there's an undertow, though, this entire thing, because there's a mindset. There's people. I reflect on myself on this one, and even you guys, like, there's a level of this. So anyway, with that said, you know what time it is. It's time for the skill that pays the bills. Today, we're actually diving into something that is seriously important to me, and actually, it fires me up, the entrepreneurial mindset. Now, if you're a business owner, a startup founder, or just someone who has that deep down hustle, like Chris and Nico, you already know that staying ahead of the curve isn't just important, it's everything. And let me tell you, in today's world, staying ahead means knowing how to harness the power of AI to fuel your business growth and uncover new opportunities. Those are the words I want you to remember today. Here's the kicker. AI isn't just for the big tech giants anymore. It's for the scrappy entrepreneurs, the small businesses, and the dreamers who are ready to scale and make their vision a reality. So let's put this into perspective. Imagine you're running a business. Maybe it's a small e-commerce shop, or maybe it sells cookies online, a service-based agency, or even a personal brand. You've got a lot on your plate, right? Managing your team, handling customer service, keeping track of finances, all while trying to grow your business. And frankly, that's a lot. But what if I told you that AI could take some of that weight off your shoulders while also giving you insights and tools you need to grow faster and smarter? We were actually talking about this in the green room before we hit record. Picture this. You're launching a new product or service. AI can help you analyze market trends, predict customer behaviors, and even spot opportunities, there's that word again, you might have missed. You can automate customer interactions, streamline your operations, and use data-driven insights to make sharper business decisions. With AI, you're not just growing your business, you're growing it with precision and purpose. Here's where the entrepreneurial mindset really shines. Entrepreneurs are natural risk takers and innovators, but with AI, you don't have to fly blind. You can use AI tools to minimize risks and maximize growth, where it's using AI to analyze new markets, craft personalized marketing campaigns, or forecast your financial future. We like to forecast that financial future. The possibilities here are endless. It takes the natural entrepreneurial drive and AI supercharges it. Think about launching a new product line. You could use AI to test waters before even releasing it. Now you've got data-backed approach that makes scaling your business faster and more effective. Now, before we wrap up, let me hit you with three key takeaways for today's skill that pays the bills. AI is a growth accelerator. Whether you're starting a new venture or scaling an existing business, AI can automate repetitive tasks, analyze market trends, and help you make smarter, faster decisions that drive growth. Stay agile with AI insights. You as the entrepreneur need to be flexible and adaptable, and AI gives you real-time data that helps you pivot quickly, whether it's refining a product or shifting your go-to-market strategy. And third thing to think about is reduce risk, increase opportunity. AI lets you make data-driven decisions, cutting down the guesswork and helping you uncover new opportunities, whether it's breaking into a new market or launching a fresh service, product, or even framework. Ladies and gentlemen, entrepreneurial mindset, that's the AI skill that pays the bill for today.
If you've been thinking about building a business, or like maybe you're in a job that is all about billable hours and that's not jiving with you right now, I think this relates to just a message that popped into my mind yesterday. And it's like, if you make your money, if you create success, say behind the scenes or in the margins, because you're a better negotiator, because ultimately you have information that the other person does not, are you done? Like, do you have to adjust that? Because for me, we get to a point where the only thing behind the scenes is AI, right? So there's no space to play, like to make your money, to be profitable, to leverage things that maybe aren't in the best interest of the person you're dealing with, right? When everybody has this level of knowledge and access, like there's no space to play. So everything's going to be out front. There's going to be no option. There's not going to be behind the scenes.
There's always going to be behind the scenes in my mind. And this is literally the thing that I'm going to say. I have contemplated on going online several times live just to show the behind the scenes to get where I'm actually getting with what I'm getting. Because, and I say this humbly, I have these moments where I'm like, wow, did we just do that together? Is that really what we just came up with? And then I think about like how I got there with the creativity and the questions and the informing and the chaining and the foundational pieces. And like, if people understood that you can have this bank of information, but if you don't have the creativity, if you don't know the questions, if you don't have the foundational pieces like personas and this and that, these magical moments, these behind the scenes, Chris, I don't think they happen for everybody.
But what I'm suggesting is the difference between you and maybe somebody else that I'm describing right now is that you have thought about going live because you cannot handle you being the only person that understands the value of what's happening.
Yes.
Right? Versus yes. Others. And managed services come to mind. Like the whole concept of creating something that you need for your business that you cannot maintain or manage without me. Right? That's the part that's going away. And that's where it forces somebody, like, I'm glad you put it that way, because at some point, it might not even be that strategic. It might be table stakes for you to be showing your work in the way that you just described, because that's the only way to say, why is this different from AI? Like, what's different here? So it will be no more like behind the scenes, and that from that perspective is where I'm coming from.
Man, all I know is it's time to wake up. That's what I'm saying. Come on,
boost
people.
That thing. Yo, there's gonna be some boost behind it.
It is time to wake up with AI. We hope you enjoyed another show and have an awesome Tuesday, everybody.
That's a wrap for this episode of Wake Up with AI. We hope that you feel a little more inspired, a little more informed, and a whole lot more excited about how AI can augment your life and business. Always remember that this journey is just the beginning, and that we are right here with you every step of the way. If you love today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave a review. You can also connect with us on social media to stay updated with all things AI. Until next time, stay curious, stay empowered, and wake up with AI.